Welcome to Evolve Live Success Through Adversity podcast, presented by Flagler Health Plus. This podcast shines a light on experiences of people in the private and public sectors. You'll hear how overcoming obstacles has shaped their perspectives and made them better prepared to meet new challenges. Here is your host of Success Through Adversity, the publisher of Evolve Magazine, Howard Holley.
This is Howard Holley, publisher of Evolve Magazine. Our guest today is Eric Libby, owner of the To-Do Dudes. Born and raised in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, Libby moved to the area 6 years ago and graduated from Matanzas High School in Flagler County. After earning an associate degree at Daytona State College, he is in the final semester at Stetson University and hopes to graduate with majors in entrepreneurship, professional sales, and business administration. Let's get started. Welcome, Eric.
Thank you so much, Howard. Appreciate the opportunity today.
Hey, we're happy to have you here. So first of all, let's start off with the name of this business. I want to hear the name before we even talk about what the business is. Tell me about the name.
Yeah, so the name of the company is the To-Do Dudes. So it started as the Hammock To-Do Dudes because we started in the hammock. That was kind of our first customer segment we started servicing. And then as we continued to branch out, it became the To-Do Dudes to be really marketed towards all of Palm Coast and beyond. But how we came up with it, it was kind of interesting because there was a lot of different plays we could have been kind of taken at first, where it was like, it could have been like Eric's landscaping company or Eric's moving company, but that's sticks. That's not something that's like, okay, I remember that. So we had to make it creative. And it was like, okay, what's the concept of the business? Which is like, okay, well, we're going to be, I guess, doing to-dos around people's houses. Like
you have so a to-do to-dos list that they had, right?
Exactly, exactly. So that's how it started. It was like, okay, we're going to be doing to-dos. How do we make this creative? And then we also, the team that we were going to try and assemble was on the younger side. So it's kind of like, it's a little creative touch. It's like the dudes. And it's like the to-do dudes.
Yeah.
So it started as a hammock to-do dudes, and it's kind of evolved. And but at first, yeah, it was just, we wanted to brainstorm some of that catch, and we have a lot of people say many different things about our name, like the to-do guys, the do-it dudes, all these different things, but it's just, it's something that sticks and they can remember us, and that's kind of marketing that gets good publicity for them to remember that.
You know, I'm a marketing guy, so I can appreciate that.
Yeah.
But tell me, how old were you when you started this business?
Yeah, so I was 18. It was right before I graduated high school at Matanzas, so I was still in high school technically when I started it.
Did you start it through doing it as an LLC? I mean, did you formally organize it?
Right. So at first, if you want me to jump into how I started the business from the beginning, I can do that. But it really started as I'm just going to do some work for neighbors and see what happens. Okay. And there was no LLC at the beginning until 2021. But it started as, all right, my next door neighbor gave me a shot. A few other people in the neighborhood gave me a shot. And I was like, okay, well, there might be something here.
So then you decided to turn it into a business.
Right, yeah.
But you used the collective we in describing the name of the business. Who are the other partners, or who did you mean when you said we?
Right. So when I first started, I kind of like brainstormed the idea and I came up with it. And actually one of my friends who lived in my neighborhood, I was like, hey, do you want to help me? Like, I've had this idea. Do you want to help me jump in and like try and help, just help some people in the community? That was like my goal, is like help some people, make some money on the side. It could be like a good little opportunity. And that was just the beginning. So that was just like when it first started. Mm-hmm. And then as it kind of developed, it was like, okay, we're getting too busy for just myself and then another team member of mine. I was like, okay, we need more people and more people. And like, it started as just a couple of us. And then as we just realized the need kept growing, it was like, okay, we need to bring on a lot more people. So now today we're up to, I think it's 20 team members with a bunch of different roles, even behind the scenes. So it's changed a lot since the very beginning. But it was like, at first it was like kind of brainstorm the idea. I had some mentors that helped me come up with that and then got one of my friends involved. And then it's kind of developed from there. So
you ran into the standard entrepreneur problem of bandwidth. Right. I mean, I started out with one thing, and before I knew it, you know, doors were opening and I couldn't handle it. And so I had to bring on someone else. And the next thing you know, I've got a business.
Right. Exactly. That's what happened at the beginning. It was just like, I thought I could do it all by myself. And I think that's too where I ran. I was like, okay, if I really want to be serious about this, I have to bring on other people. I think that's one thing that I've learned too, is just it's not any business you create. It's not about yourself. It's like so many people come into play to like make it all happen and make it like a success within your communities or just in general. So I've had like a lot of people that have helped, facilitating teams getting to jobs, working with customers, even just the field team. I think those are the most important. Those are the people that the customers are actually seeing going out to the jobs, whether that be a leader or one of our team members. So it takes everyone to be fully kind of in line to create, I think, what we have today.
So tell me a bit about your journey to this. So you did this at about 18. Mm-hmm. Did you, prior to that, determine that you wanted to be in business or you wanted to be an entrepreneur, or did you just sort of fall into it, Eric?
Yeah, so all my life I've been super interested in entrepreneurship. I've always been like creative. I've tried to look for little angles. I mean, when I was younger, I was like doing lemonade stands and doing garage sales and like even like starting little clubs where it could be like something fun behind the scenes. So I've always liked to create to start. How I came into the To-Do Dudes, I feel like in a sense it kind of did just fall upon me, because the story of how it all began, I was doing work in my grandmother's backyard, and I had my headphones in. I was laying lava rock for her. At the time, I was living with her when we first moved down here, and she had me doing just lava rock for her, and I had my headphones in, and then a bunch of people on the Hammock Dunes golf course were going by in golf carts, and they're like, "Eric, can you do the same thing for me?" So it was just like, at the time, I was like, "I guess I can help you." I was like, "Yeah, sure, sure." And it took me about five people that said that in that same day until I realized, like, okay, wait a minute here. there's something to this. So then that's when we got to the drawing board and started to like really dive in and like see what we could come up with.
How old
like,
were you then?
I was 18.
That was at 18.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So there's been a lot of.
So with your interest in lemonade and those things,
yeah, yeah,
how
yeah.
old were you when you would say you first cultivated an interest in entrepreneurship?
Yeah, well, I think my parents and just family in general have always like been like, "Oh, you're such a sales guy," like even since I was younger. So it's always been kind of in the back of my mind. But I mean, when I was 7 years old, my grandmother just sent me a picture the other day, and I had created my first invoice, and it was a car wash. It was a $2 car wash when I was 7 years old, and I was washing her car, and it was what? Like at the very
and you
beginning.
You generated an invoice
it was
your grandmother,
right? It was a little like written thing, and it was just like she's like, "Make me a little invoice," and she sent me a picture. I didn't remember it until she sent. I was like, "Wow, that's
you
crazy.
Gotta hold on to that."
Yeah, right. So it's a great memory, like that can't get lost. So I've always been very interested, and even the people around me. Even at Stetson, I really love to hear entrepreneurs. I love the fact when people get very motivated and interested in creating something, especially like something that's going to create a positive change for the people around us.
Mm-hmm. So I want to pivot a bit from what I normally do here, because for the last couple of years during this COVID period, I've had to hold back on something that I have a passion about. And that's about cultivating entrepreneurship as early as it could possibly occur.
Mm-hmm.
Not for the purpose of having someone starting a business when they're a teenager or starting a business right after high school, but placing those seeds so that it's what they ultimately want to do. You know, so somebody could go to Stetson and major in the same thing you're majoring in and may take a job with Goldman Sachs.
Right. Right.
And then 2, 3, 5 years down the road, say, "Okay, I think I'm going to go ahead." So I say that to say, how early should I be casting that net to encourage discussions between parents and their kids and kids and their friends about entrepreneurship and business?
Right. I think it's different for everybody. I think it's tough to say exactly when, like, this is when it... this is when you should do it. I think for me personally, I've just always tried to keep an open mind. And I think like a learning mentality of like growth mindset, like trying to try to learn material, try and listen to podcasts and see what you can find out. And I think like the more areas you look to kind of guidance, advice, insight, It kind of generates ideas. And I think that too, like the more and more, like I've pivoted so many times in my current business that I don't think our business is today what it was at the beginning. It's definitely changed.
And it should.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just think it's a mindset that I think it's almost about the mindset. It's just, it's different timing for everybody. It's just mm-hmm. sometimes it doesn't work out at the time being, but that doesn't mean later on you can't revisit. And like, mm-hmm. even for the to-do dudes, I mean, this is, I've been so blessed to be where I am right now, but I mean, maybe there is another pivot. Maybe in a few years, this is this transition to something new or a new opportunity. And I think it's just keeping your eyes open, keeping that mentality. And I think even from a young age, you could kind of push that of like just have a love to learn. Like mm-hmm. just
yeah, believe in that.
Immerse yourself. Mm-hmm. Try and like, I mean, you have people around you that I think if you just go and ask, can you help me with this? Can I pick your brain? People that have been there for a while, I think, I mean, that's what really cultivates those ideas, I believe.
So if I think about the to-do dudes, then to-do is sort of your offering. It's mm-hmm. your product, right?
Right?
That's what you do, is
right.
we do your to-dos. How has that changed over the last few years? How has your offering, quote-unquote, changed?
Yeah, so at the beginning, how I started was like, all right, I want to offer as much value as I can. I'm going to do anything that comes out. If somebody asks me, I'm going to say yes. Mm-hmm. We're going to do everything. And I slowly realized and definitely made some mistakes on the way that we can't be getting on people's roofs. We can't be power washing mm-hmm. outside. It's like a lot of these things at first, it was just like, yes, I want to do whatever I can to help. And I realized as time went on, like, okay, I'm making a lot of mistakes here. This isn't our strength. Like, I really don't think that's the direction we want to take the business. So it's just started out as like anything and everything. And then we've tried to narrow it down as like, okay, really our business model is we're the extra hand around the house, right? So we're the house chores, the event help, the move the dresser from one point A to point B around the house. Where at first it was like we were doing massive jobs and it's just, we weren't, I mean, I think we could still offer that, but it's like our strong value proposition and our niche that we're hitting is just like, the people that just need the extra hand, they don't need the full service. Like there's mm-hmm. other companies that do mm-hmm. that where we're the high school college students that come in and like, all right, what is your to-do? What mm-hmm. is your extra chore around the house that you just need a hand for? So it definitely has evolved and I think it still is. And we're trying to like really nail it down. But I always like to give the example of like, it started from like as far away as we could. And then it's like it's kind of like narrowed into like a smaller niche as we've continued.
Yeah, there is a marketing book called The Discipline of Market Leaders.
Okay.
And what it speaks to, and it's one that I adopted way yeah. back. And what it speaks to is, yes, if you look at a set of bowling pins, you want everything. You want a strike.
Right.
But you have to start with one pin.
Right, that's right.
You know,
exactly.
That's got to be a focus.
Yeah.
And
right.
then you expand and then right. you expand. And that focus could be a product or it could right. be a geography.
Right.
So it sounds to me that you've gone both horizontal and vertical.
Yeah. yeah.
Because you said it started with the hammock to-do
right.
dudes. And then you began to go out to Palm Coast and others. And so now we've talked about the offering and how yeah. that has changed and evolved.
Yeah.
Tell me about how the market has changed. Do you see it growing geographically as well?
Right. So are you referring kind of to our long-term plans or like where, so we started in hammock. Now
I'm talking about where you see it going, both
okay.
horizontally
sure, sure.
and vertically. So you said where it is now, how you got there.
Right.
Now the question is, where do you see it going?
Right. So kind of, I think to even jump off our last topic right there of like mm-hmm. where our business started and where it is now of like really finding that niche. I think that's what we're trying to spend the rest of this 2022 years, like mm-hmm. really figuring out like what can we do better than anybody else and really try to lean on that to offer that to our customers. So once we kind of have a little bit more, I wouldn't say like perfected, and I think we're really close. There's like a lot of things that are still happening, but really close to that. Then that leaves other cities kind of on the table and that we can start really expanding. Our plan right now is by 2023 to be fully operational in Ormond Beach. So mm-hmm. we're trying to get some process in place and also pretty soon here start recruiting a new team in Ormond Beach that can run separately from Palm Coast, because we have been doing a few things in Ormond where we're trying to keep it just in Palm Coast right now because we're going to make that full jump. But really, it would be not just like the Palm Coast team would leak out there, like it would fully be another team. And then that would be like our short term. We'll see kind of, okay, how does that work with two locations? And then mm-hmm. if we can master that, then it's like, okay, maybe like a Daytona or even the other way of St. Augustine. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of neighborhoods around here that are cities near us that I think would be really good opportunities for us to really grow. And also just in the past week, we've had some meetings about like really targeting like college towns and like the you go to those college cities and
where
that's,
you can get your labor, that'll your be team members.
Exactly. You get the team, team members there. And then that's, you have also people around kind of the outskirts of that town as well. Like not just a central college town that also do, I mean, who doesn't need an extra hand around the house, right?
Sure. So, So, as you know, the title of this podcast is Success Through Adversity. And the premise is that to achieve success, whether it's measured by what you've already achieved or by what you will achieve, the premise is that to achieve success, one has to overcome adversity and challenges.
Right.
Listeners to the podcast might wonder whether you've had any adversity or challenges that have honed you, given that you're just graduating from college. Would you reaffirm or dissuade that notion?
Yeah, I'd say there's still definitely a lot of things for me to learn. I think there's going to be a lot of roadblocks ahead that I'll still have to overcome. I think since the beginning, the biggest thing is just like, I didn't ever think what we have today was possible. I didn't believe that when we started this, when I was doing that first mulch slash like rock job in my grandma's backyard, that this is what it would become today. And there's a lot of like becoming an LLC, fully insured, workers' comp, and there's a lot of mistakes in the process that we had to overcome. So it was just like spending late nights and like I'd get up 8 a.m. and like stop working at 9. Like that was a full day of work. And there's still behind the scenes stuff I had to do. And it's like, it just kept, it was just a lot of time. And it's just, it's, as we continue to grow, like it doesn't, just because I'm not focused working in the field, now it's more behind the scenes stuff. Now actually I'll bring this up is Monday we made a full transition where I'm not answering phone calls. We're having somebody, a team member of ours that answers all of our customer communication. And then we also have a separate team member that's doing our, who's our general manager, Cameron, and he's doing all of our field monitoring and making sure he's like the eye in the sky, making sure they're all ready for their jobs. And I think too, for me, that has been a really big jump because I've been so used to doing everything. Now it's like hands off, where this is kind of a uncomfortable spot, but I think it's going to be something I have to get comfortable with. And I trust my team wholeheartedly. So it's just making that transition. But I think it's just, I mean, even as we go, there's gonna be so many other things. I think there's, we've done a lot of work in the community and I've made mistakes that I wish I, or that I've learned from and that we've brought into how we do things today. But I just, yeah, I think there's a lot of things in the future that will still be a real test to see if the To-Do Dudes is something that can make it to other communities.
Yeah, I think, and if not, does it propel you to a different business? I mean, you know, and it doesn't mean that that goes away. It means that you go through a different door. I'm a big believer in lifelong learning. That's the only way, in fact, to personally grow. But in responding to my question about challenges, what I think I'm hearing is that your challenge that you've had to overcome was really your lack of business experience and trying to acquire and the effort it took to really understand what does it take to operate a business.
Right. So exactly. Yeah. And there's just like, I think for our whole team, I mean, we're setting out like positions that are purely like, we have our director of marketing, we have our general manager and director of operations, and we're getting this all set up right now. And for all of us, this is like completely unknown darkness that we have no idea. And we're just like trying to figure it out as we kind of go. But I've even said to a lot of my team members, I mean, I've just really appreciated the relationships I've built in it. And I think they're just even meaningful that just past the business. I mean, this will be, these will be lifelong relationships we've built here. But I even have said like, okay, even if the business went out today, if we went out of business today, I would be so grateful for the opportunity, just to, the learning to aspect.
Learn,
we've learned so much and I can take this into other opportunities in the future. But for the time being, I'm like, this is, I mean, what we're doing right now is just so helpful to all of us personally. And I think one thing that's really important to me as well is like being able to develop some other leaders within our team of like the high school college students that are getting experience for their future careers as well.
So you have been listening to Eric Libby, the founder of the To-Do Dudes. Eric, tell me, how can our listeners reach out to you?
Yes, we have a few different ways. So we can obviously go to our website, thetododudes.com. Also, we have our Facebook pages. We have a Nextdoor, which has been very helpful for the community. A lot of people are on Nextdoor. You can just really look up the To Do Dudes LLC and find us there. And we're working on right now LinkedIn as well, is trying to get some more business relationships. So just look up the To Do Dudes LLC, To Do Dudes, and you'll be able to find us.
And the To Do Dudes, no hyphens, one word, .com.
That's right.
Okay. Excellent. So, Eric, thank you for joining us. It's been a very interesting discussion. I think we will have more as I continue peel back this concept of a youthpreneur conference.
That's right.
Where I really want to appeal to people who have the predisposition and just want to be around other folk who are also interested in entrepreneurship. And so obviously we'll have you at that table with them. This is Howard Holley, publisher of Evolve Magazine. We welcome your feedback and suggestions. Let us know what you think at editor@evolvemagazinesflorida.com. That's editor@evolvemagazinesflorida.com. And our website is evolve-success.com. And if you want to subscribe, go to evolve-success.com/subscribe so you can stay on top of other podcasts like this, as well as our video and YouTube channel, which is How Is Your Business Evolving? Thank you, Eric, and thank you, listeners. Howard Holley, signing out.
This has been Evolve Live's Success Through Adversity podcast, presented by Flagler Health Plus. Subscribe to listen to more podcasts at evolve-success.com/subscribe. Send your comments to editor@evolvemagazinesflorida.com.